Good morning, and welcome to all. And I hope you greeted the day with the words of the psalmist, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." If you're visiting with us, please know that we're delighted that you're here with us, and we hope that you'll return, and we would love to talk with you about the possibility to join into the life and fellowship of this particular church. Several announcements, of which maybe most important, is tonight is the night you've been waiting for. It's the Valentine chili supper and bingo party. I am so excited. It just almost feels like Christmas again, but it's really, really close. But also, please take time to look at the calendar and the bulletin to make sure you know where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there. Beginning Sunday, March the 5th, mark your calendars. We will be starting a new adult Sunday school class in the parlor, and it may scare everybody off, but I'm going to be teaching it. Okay, that just killed the class. Nobody will be there now. But I did have a request that when I start teaching a new class that I do something on church history. And so it will be appropriate for Sunday school because I hope to include the biblical roots for history throughout the ages. But we will start a lesson on church history. And we finish church history. I want to do a series of lessons on the life of Savior, the life of Jesus, beginning from birth throughout his time on earth. So mark your calendars. March the 5th is when we will do that. Another day to mark is the Sunday before to get ready to come to Sunday school on the 5th. Nobody's supposed to come to Sunday school on the 26th. Sunday the 26th is our annual Skip Sunday School for Hope Sunday to make sure everybody has the opportunity to go to the grocery store. You may remember that several years ago, the Parlor Sunday School class began this program of skipping Sunday school to be sure we support Project Hope. We did this, and now we continue to do it to the glory of God, but also one way to us to remember the life and ministry of Mike Stump when he was upon us who got the program started. Be sure to buy imperishable foods. It is suggested that you not bring canned green beans. Talking to the Project Hope folks, they have got canned green beans coming out their ears over there. So find something besides green beans when you bring. But also, as with last year, they have difficulty purchasing baby items from a food bank. And so baby food and formula and diapers are very appropriate. But let's see if we can get a ton of food this year. So that's Sunday, the 26th of February. Is that right? Are there other announcements? I think Terry. And it was another wonderful event.
Yes.
Thank you for all the volunteers that were. Okay.
Don't forget your Valentine. We will have the coffee store, and what your Valentine really wants is some Palestinian olive oil. That's what they want. It's good for their heart. It's good for their heart. And, you know, it's Women's Heart Health Month and everything. And we have coffee and all kinds of chocolate, and so we'll be open tonight at the Valentine party. So.
Do you have dark chocolate?
Oh, and it, of course we have dark chocolate, okay. And we have milk chocolate.
I can assure you my Valentine wants dark chocolate.
Okay, well, there you
not
go.
Problem. Okay.
You're all set.
Okay.
We're better than the drive through at Kroger. I mean, you just come over here.
Okay.
We don't have flowers, but come on, right? Okay. And it also benefits our youth and children that are going to go to Mo Ranch this summer. So, yes, ma'am.
Hi, everybody. I'm a part of the New Phi Epsilon chapter at Stephen Austin, and we are having a Valentine's Day concert at 6 o'clock on the Thursday, that is February the 16th. So,
in the recital hall.
In the recital hall. Yes.
Valentine's Day concert 2 days after Valentine's.
But we do it all week because we're starting today.
Love is still in the air.
There
concert
you go.
Hall at 6:15?
Six o'clock.
Six o'clock. Okay. I know we have one more announcement.
And speaking of Valentine's, I want to thank all the ladies who helped make the Valentine Project a success, all the people who gave addresses and money, and an extra special thank you to Norma Pitts, to Barbara Bosch, Shalene Kestner, and Lois Hale, who helped pack the boxes with the goodies. They wrote Valentine's, labeled, taped, and delivered the boxes. Lois helped me shop at Sam's. Steve delivered some boxes. Sally made the address levels. So this is a real team effort from everybody in the church. This year, the Westminster Youth also added handmade Valentines to put in the boxes. We packed 50 boxes for 4 military personnel, 8 college students, 10 church staff, 14 choir students and wolves, 13 sick and shut-ins, including 2 diabetic patients. 10 boxes were mailed, and one even went to Germany. For the first time in my memory, and I've been doing this quite a while, we were short of funds to mail the boxes. If you would like to donate or contribute in any way, you can do so with Lois or at the church office, or I'll take money. Any of the funds that are left over, we'll hold them till next year to continue the Valentine Project. And again, thank you for making this a sweet, sweet time for all our friends from Westminster. Thank you.
Announce the last hymn, 313.
Thank you. One other note in your bulletin, the final hymn, Lord Make Us More Holy, is not hymn number 31. It's hymn number 313. Is that right?
Yes.
We'll try to, well, remember 313. Just put a 3 behind it and you've got it. Other announcements. One more. Our session will be meeting immediately following worship in the parlor for a called meeting. Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Please join me in the call to worship. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through generations. Join me in the prayer for adoration. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours, Almighty God, for you are the source of all beauty and goodness. Your grace comes fresh every morning. Each new day caused the sun to rise to give light to the world. We praise you for your never-failing love and your word that guides us in your ways. We rejoice in your constant care, for you are faithful in your love for all people and provide salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. We pray during this hour of worship that you will hear our prayers, be honored through our praise, and we humbly ask that you will speak to us through your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In 1 John 3, we read, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And as with any parent who loves his child, we can approach God with the record of our sin and through Jesus Christ understand that we are forgiven. So I invite everyone to join me as we confess our sin together using the prayer found in the bulletin. Eternal God, our Judge and Redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and turned from our neighbors. We have refused to bear the troubles of others. We have ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. O God, in your great mercy, forgive our sin and free us from selfishness, that we may obey your commandments. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dear friends, when Peter spoke to Cornelius and his household, he said, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone believes him receives forgiveness sin through his name. This is the great wonder of our faith. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now may we honor God as we give to him his tithe and our offerings. Lord God, your matchless grace is shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and it far extends what we're able to give. However, we pray that you will receive what we have, and that it will be blessed, multiplied, and used for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord God, open our hearts to understand the meaning of your word and to receive it with joy, that it will produce fruit in our lives and in our ministry. Keep us by your power, so the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth will not choke it, nor will troubles make us fall away. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive Psalter today comes from Psalm 34. In this Psalter, God pays attention to those who call on him. He hears and acts on behalf of those who love him. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips.
I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
I saw the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing.
The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cries.
But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their names from the earth.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is close to the broken hearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
The righteous person may have many troubles. Our scripture reading today comes from the New Testament of John chapter 7, verses 37 through 44. Let us hear what the word says. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "If you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scripture declares that rivers of living water will flow out from within." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to anyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. When the crowds heard him say this, some of them declared, "This man is surely the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others said, "But he can't be. Will the Messiah come from Galilee? For the scripture clearly states that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born." So the crowd was divided in their opinion about him, and some wanted him arrested, but no one would touch him. Amen.
We can do whatever we want to today because we're behind the tables and nobody can see us. Anybody bring some cards?
No.
Nope. Well, let's talk about something else then. Do you have a friend or have you had a friend who's been sad about something? Mm-hmm. What were they sad about? Think about it.
Moving away.
They had to move away and you felt sad. They felt sad. And you felt sad. I have a friend who's, this is really sad. Her cat died.
Or somebody in her family died.
And they were so sad. And did it make you sad?
Yes.
Yes, it made you sad. Somebody was hungry. They had nothing to eat.
I would give them some food.
Why would you give them some food?
So they could stay alive, so they could eat.
Because you know what the word compassion, give them some milk. You know what the word compassion means? It means that I see somebody in need and I feel for them, I love them, I have compassion on them, so I take care of them. In Sunday school today, if you were there, a couple of you were in Sunday school today, you did what story? Remember what Jesus did?
Yes.
What did he do?
He split, because they only had enough for 7 people, and they split it into so the whole crowd could eat.
And how many were in the crowd?
12.
No, 12 basketfuls were picked up, but how the crowd was bigger than this.
560, I think.
5,000. 5,000. Jesus was teaching the crowds. They came from the town. They came from the countryside. They came from all over to be with Jesus and hear him teach. And it was close to dinner time, and there weren't any McDonald's back then. There wasn't a Burger King to go to or an Olive Garden. Eat. And so Jesus looked at the disciples, and the disciples said to Jesus, what are we going to do? All the people are hungry. And Jesus said, well, you feed them.
Give them bread.
Yeah, but there's 5,000 of them, Jesus. How are we going to feed 5,000 people?
Give it to me. I'm God.
He gave it to Jesus. How many loaves? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus divided it, and he fed all 5,000 that were there, and maybe some more beside that. And he fed so many, and there was so much food left over, they had 12 basketfuls left over.
Yeah.
Jesus had compassion on the hungry people, and he fed them. And in response, I saw y'all doing something this morning. You were hanging posters around the church.
For hope.
You were raising
people eat.
Helping other people eat. You are putting posters around the church, reminding all of us that on Sunday, February the 26th.
I think it's next Sunday.
Nope. It's the Sunday after that.
Two Sundays
from now. We're not going to have Sunday school.
We're going to go help
people. We're going to go to the grocery store instead, and we're going to buy food so we can take it to Project Hope so they can help other people eat. H-O-P-E. So that's what we're going to do. Because Jesus had compassion on the people, and that's one way in which we show our compassion by helping other people eat. So we're going to remind everybody out here again next Sunday that the next Sunday they can skip Sunday school. Of course, most of them skip Sunday school anyway. But they can officially skip Sunday school so they can go help other people eat. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for taking care of us. We give you thanks for these children. We give you thanks for the food that is on our table each day. And we pray that showing the compassion that Jesus showed, when we see somebody who needs help, that we might help them. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Please be seated.
Since the beginning of the year, we've been working our way through 1 Peter. You remember Peter wrote the churches in Asia Minor who were beginning to feel the persecutions from the Emperor Nero. Peter reminds his friends that though times are dangerous, that they will suffer grief or could suffer grief and pains from all kinds of trials, still their hope is in Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. Maybe ringing in Peter's ears were the words he may have heard that he heard Jesus speak many years earlier, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul." Yes, Rome can kill the body, but Nero cannot have your soul, for you belong to God. Peter reminded the church that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into God's wonderful light. One of Peter's goals was to encourage the church suffering horribly under persecution to live such good lives among the pagans that though they are accused Christians of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and give glory to God who is heaven in heaven. Then Peter gives three examples. He told the Christians of his day to submit to the authorities, even to Nero. He told slaves to submit to their masters, and he told wives to submit to their husbands. The reason for living under such submission is that by living good lives, emperors, governors, slave owners, and husbands might see the light of Jesus Christ and profess him as their Lord. That's the main thing. Remember last week's sermon, the main thing is to keep the main thing, and Jesus Christ is the main thing. And we live our lives that will be filled with both his love for the abused and his love for the abuser. When we love even those who will do us harm, we do the main thing when we obey Jesus and love our enemies. Their hearts may be changed. Yes, we might suffer. Our individual rights may be tread upon, but our goal is not what is rightfully ours. Our goal is to make the love of Jesus Christ known. No one is won to Christ by hate, coercion, or manipulation. People learn about Jesus and make a decision for Christ through our love. The text is 1 Peter 3:8-12. This text proves that Peter was a preacher and that this is a sermon when he uses the word finally. In typical preacher fashion, and I'm guilty of it as well, finally. And the audience says, good, it's time for lunch in this sermon. And Peter says, finally. And then like most preachers, he goes on for another 2.5 chapters. I think for most preachers, including myself, the word finally means I'm about halfway through, so sit back and be ready for some more homiletic gems. But hear the word from 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This passage defines the attitude of someone who follows Christ. Other New Testament texts do the same, but here are the list of attributes of a Christian given by Peter. Be like-minded, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, humble, one who repays evil with blessing, controls their tongue, seeking peace, pursuing it. It's a good list. And if we commit ourselves to doing the things on the list, you will honor Christ. You will draw people to Christ. And the fire inside of you, the love Christ, will grow. I think an example comes from the book Who Switched Price Tags by Tony Campolo, who gives advice to husbands and wives who have lost affections for each other. He writes, "Sometimes in counseling sessions, I encounter a person who claims an absence of any kind of affection for their mate. These people say that what they once felt has died, and they are left with no alternative but to end the marriage." Sometimes that describes the relationship between the Christian and Christ. Whenever I counsel such people, I always tell them that if they will do faithfully what I tell them to do, within a month their feeling of affection will return. I tell them that if they follow my directions, they will once again be in love with the person to whom they are married. When they ask me if I have some new secret method to employ, I simply tell them the following. 1, make a list of the things you would do for your spouse if you were madly in love with them. And 2, each day, do everything on the list. It's as simple as that. There's no secret formula, no magical recipe. There's no mysterious process that is the result of extensive research. The age-old truth is those who do loving things are the ones who have loving feelings, for what you do affects how you feel. Well, a man took this advice, and he said, I usually leave the factory sweating and dirty, but decided if I really loved my wife, I would get cleaned up before I saw her again. So I showered and shaved at the plant and put on clean clothes. On the way home, I stopped by the florist and bought some flowers. When I got home, I usually go in the back door, get a beer out of the refrigerator, go to the rec room and watch television until supper was ready. But because I wanted to do what a lover would do, I went to the front door, rang the doorbell, and waited for my wife to answer. When she opened the door, I held out the flowers and said, "For you, honey, I love you. Let's cook dinner together." She looked at the flowers, then at me, and burst into tears. She said, "I've had a terrible day. Billy hurt his ankle. I had to rush him to the emergency room for an x-ray. When I got back, I got a phone call from your mom. She's coming in 2 weeks, and she's going to stay an entire month. I tried to do the laundry, but the washing machine broke, and there's water all over the basement floor. And now you've come home drunk." Nevertheless, Dr. Campolo writes, if this man continues to do such things, I'm sure it will not be long before his heart is palpitating with such excitement over being married. If he does what he promised to do, it's only a matter of time before he finds his marriage is fun again. As we consider the words of Peter, consider the logic of these actions. What you do affects how you feel. A husband comes home, pays little attention to his wife, whose only words when he comes home is the famous words of Archie Bunker, "Get me a beer, and when is supper gonna be ready?" This person has in fact demoted the love of his life to a level of a common piece of old furniture. Of course, this downward spiral applies to other relationships, but a wife or husband who is cherished and loved, one whose partner in conversation and affection, one who is put on a pedestal as a wife, as a spouse, who will be the love of your life. In a similar way, it is true about our relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. It is true, certainly not of anyone within the sound of my voice, but for some it is true that their life with Jesus is compared to the husband who comes home, turns on the television and asks, "When's supper gonna be ready?" Once again, I know it's no one in this building has the attitude, but there are people in church somewhere who have worked hard all week, played hard all night, and when they arrive in worship, they mentally lay down in the pews. They wish the hymns were not so long and that his prayer is simply, "Jesus, when on earth are you going to help me win the lottery?" And is there any wonder there is little fire for them in their lives for Jesus Christ? The river of living water about which Jesus speaks has slowed down to a trickle. The Mississippi of their lives has turned to a drop here and there. Rather than soaring with the eagles, they find themselves grounded. It is true that in the life of a couple, it is true in the life of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the church, that your giving, your mission activity, the way that you love others, including your enemies, it is what you do that will support how you feel. It is what you will do that will support your faith. It is what you do that will increase your love for Christ and for others. If you do nothing for your spouse, it will not be long before you feel nothing for your spouse. And if you say you believe in Christ, but you do not allow your belief to turn into action, it will not be long until your religion is simply a liturgy and going through the motions. And it's also true that if you do nothing with or for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, it will not be long until you slip away from their fellowship. In our text this morning, Peter is like the husband or the wife, making a list of things he would do if he were madly in love with Christ. And he presents the list to us. The reasoning for his list is given in verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days, do these things. And then in verse 12, for the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous and his ears attentive to their prayers. Peter is quoting Psalm 34. We read it earlier this morning. The actions are listed for those who want to love God, those who desire to grow in faith, to see good days and be blessed by God. This is the list for those who want God to be attentive to their prayers. Notice it does not say, answer your prayers with a big yes, but be attentive, knowing the very presence of God in your lives. Peter presents us with a list. It's a list full of grace. For the purpose of the list is to call our attention to those things that will change the way we feel about God, relight the fires for Christ, and for those people who God calls into our lives. You might want to make your own list. Put on the top of a page. You may even have it in your bulletin this morning. Things I would do if I really loved God. Have you ever tried to make such a list? I hope you will go home today and reflect upon the list and add to the list. Look at Peter's list. It begins with verse 8. Live in harmony with one another. Harmony does not mean that we're all the same or have to agree on everything. We may disagree on major issues. We go from one extreme to the other on political issues within this congregation, but we have committed ourselves to seek what is best for each other. And when it comes to how we are governed, we have committed ourselves to a certain set of rules. That's part of what it means to be Presbyterian. We have an order based upon Scripture that helps us live together. Peter added, be sympathetic or suffer with others. This is certainly a trait I see in this particular church. In Romans, Paul defines that sympathy or compassion. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. I mourn when I see people suffer, and I rejoice when I see the quick response of members of this church to help. For you are there to cry with, to cook for, to help deliver, to drive. You help any way you can. Then Peter added to the list, love one another. Some translations say, love as brothers. That particularly caught my attention, for as you know, I have four brothers, and I know all of you pray for my mother. Especially my brother, Kerry. He's the brother who, one of my older brothers, he's the one closest to my age. When we were growing up, he would take me to play football with his friends, and when we were back at home around the dinner table, he would brag about how well I played, even though I was the youngest one there. Maybe Peter was talking about Kerry would keep the bullies away. Maybe Peter was talking about the confidence I have even today that if I were in trouble at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could call any of my brothers, and I'm confident that without hesitation, they would come to my aid. Maybe Peter is talking about how Jim, Chuck, Kerry, or Richard would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. Peter says, love as brothers. Then Peter adds to the list, be compassionate. As Jesus had compassion on the hungry crowd, show compassion. There are other items on Peter's list. Peter mentions humility. I love what one person wrote, if you think you're humble, you're probably not. But consider, if you know anyone who is not worth your time or your talents, then it's time for you to pray for humility. On Peter's list are the words he may have heard from the Apostle Paul, or maybe Paul heard it from Peter. But both apostles agree with the psalmist. Do not repay evil for evil, as you find it so easy to do, and do not repay insult for insult. Christian speech should bless others. Peter's list includes our speech, keep from an evil tongue. And he adds to the list, do good. And he concludes with these words, finally, pursue peace. I'm on page 20 of 22, by the way. We're almost there. Think about your walk with Christ. Is there any feeling there? Any love? Is your faith growing? We're not talking so much about the salvation experience here. I'm confident that for most people here, if not all, you have experienced salvation. What I'm talking about is that relationship with God that gives life to life. It's similar to the relationship that gives life to a marriage or devotion to a friendship. It comes when you do, when you're actively working to grow closer. It may be thought of as those things you can do that will make it a joy to approach God in prayer. So Peter's counsel, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate. Be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but bless those who would hurt you and keep your tongue from evil. And finally, do good and pursue peace. How else are you going to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known? Have you made a list of what you would do if you love Jesus Christ? If you have not, I started one for you. It's in the bulletin. Actually, Peter started it from you. It's straight from his words. But I left a few more lines there. Maybe you know of other things you would do if you loved Christ. But don't stop with making the list. But do what's on the list, and it will make all the difference in the world in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we use the grandest words in our vocabulary to describe you. Awesome, sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, merciful, righteous. Yet we know through the witness of your Son, Jesus Christ, the word that offers the best description is love. But we know that love can be dangerous. For love means that we are willing to put our lives on the line to serve people that we may not even know, including the refugee. And the example of the danger of love leads us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the faith and the love to be willing to place ourselves even in danger in order to show your love for all. Our Father, our country's political process is front and center on our minds constantly these days, whether or not we like it. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our system of government, which was once the envy of the world, showing need now of reform and correction, dare we say repentance. Use the same spirit of unrest that exists to speak to the powers that be and raise up leaders who can see beyond their own gain that all the people of this country and the world can pursue life, liberty, and happiness. We pray for friends in our midst who are grieving a loss of any kind. Bring comfort and a real sense of your presence. For friends in our midst who are suffering from illness and for their loved ones, bring increased trust in you. We pray for our children, we pray for our parents. We pray for our siblings, we pray for our friends, we pray for our enemies. But most of all, O God of great mercy, we thank you for the gift of your mercy and grace that you have bestowed on each one of us. You have shown us in Christ that your love is never ending. Help us to believe that and enable us to love one another with generous hearts. In the name of your Son, our brother and friend, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand with me? Let us say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And following the creed, we will sing hymn number 313. 313. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.